Hello, fellow Kentuckians and other friends, and welcome to a new edition of My Old Kentucky Podcast. My name is Robert Connie, and joining me, as always, is Jasmine Smith. Jasmine, how are you today?
I'm doing really well, Robert. How are you?
I'm doing great. Jasmine, it is the past. It is a week before you're hearing this in real life.
This is true.
Yes, we're both out of town this week, but we wanted to give you a show anyway, so we're doing an interview with none other than Stephanie Kingsley, who is a candidate for the Kentucky House of Representatives in Corbin, which is Laurel County and part of Whitley County. Is that right?
All of Whitley County.
Part of Laurel. I got it backwards.
Okay.
Yeah, that is District 82 down there in southeastern Kentucky. So we are excited to talk to her today. Hopefully nothing crazy happens this week. You know, I feel like weeks sometimes are big. Like we had that one week where we had like 8 stories. And
we did.
You know, maybe by the time you're listening to this, there's like Speaker Jeff Hoover again or like Matt Bevin's on the moon or I don't know.
Right. Something but I'll could be happen. In trial, so yeah. don't call me.
Jasmine will be in trial and I'll be in California. So what we're doing today is we're talking to Stephanie. So Jasmine, tell us all about Stephanie.
All right. Stephanie Kingsley is a candidate for District 82 of the Kentucky House of Representatives, which covers all of Whitley County and a section of Southern Laurel County in southeastern Kentucky. The incumbent representative in District 82 is Regina Huff, who has served the area since 2012. Ms. Kingsley first moved to Eastern Kentucky to work for the Appalachian Research and Defense Fund of Kentucky Legal Aid, also known as AppleRed, and has since set up her own law firm where she does lots of things, but especially works in areas of consumer law. Ms. Kingsley, welcome to My Old Kentucky Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
So running for office as a Democrat in one of probably the most conservative districts in the state has to be a big decision. Tell us why you decided to run for this seat this year.
I felt like if not now, when? There will be no other time like the present to run as a Democratic woman in Kentucky. I feel like the Republican district in which I exist has a reputation of being a very stiff Republican stronghold, but I think a lot of it has to do with the historical, generational Republican nature in which people register and vote as Republicans in order to vote in the primaries because
okay, sure.
Democrats don't mm-hmm. typically
right.
run.
Right.
So when you look at the percentages and numbers, you know, there really don't run a lot of Democrats
right.
in that part of the state. So, you know, I think the Republicans of the 1970s were very different than the Republican Party we see both in Frankfort and D.C. today. I think the party has changed. I don't think the Republican voters in my district have changed in the same fashion that the national and the state party have. So, you know, I feel like the people of Whitley and Laurel County don't feel like Frankfort and D.C. represents them or has a representative who speaks for them. And I feel like the people of my district are smart enough to vote person over party and know that I will speak for them.
Well, those sound like all good reasons. But you spent much of your career working with and for people without much access to the legal system. Tell us a little bit about how your experience working with that community influenced your decision to run for office.
I feel the people of Appalachia completely exist in a world where they are underestimated and overlooked.
Right, they do.
I have learned to speak for my clients in a manner that speaks to them and not over them. And I feel that the capacity as a legal aid lawyer to cut the issues down into bite-sized chunks and to be able to advocate for individuals who don't always identify that they have legal problems is a challenge in and of itself. But working for John Rosenberg in Southeast Appalachia has raised me up to be a different kind of lawyer. I believe that the legal profession is there to help people. And I hope to bring that same framework to the legislature. It's a government for the people. And I believe that we're missing that part of it today.
So how long have you thought about running for office? Has this been like a lifelong dream of yours? Or is public service something that you've just started considering recently?
Just here recently. Since,
since 2016, maybe?
Since 2016, November the 10th, I do believe. Immediately after the presidential election, Emerge reopened their application process. And I felt now was the time to do something positive, and it really gave me focus for what the future will hold for Kentucky and what my place in that might be.
Mm-hmm. All right. I feel like a lot of other women feel the same way as you do, and that's why we have so many great women running this year. But let's talk about your district a little bit. So District 82 sits in the middle of the old 5th Congressional District. Even back when Kentucky sent mostly Democrats to Frankfort and Washington, this area of the state was steadfastly GOP. So two fun facts about the areas. When deciding where to make his emergence after resigning the presidency, Richard Nixon picked Haddon, 58 miles down the road. Also, unlike almost every other county in Kentucky, Donald Trump did not represent the best performance by a Republican during a presidential election in Whitley County. So he won 82% of the vote, but Herbert Hoover won with 83% in 1920. So how do you plan to get this region to change its mind?
Again, I feel like it's important for the people of my district to understand that it's not a party over person, that being an individual who speaks to the issues that my district faces every day instead of deciding for them what is best, they're smart enough to hear that difference. I believe that, again, the Republican Party that was is not the Republican Party that is, and my district has not moved along with the national party and where they are today. Hmm. The information that I hope to get to the voters in the 82nd is it is time for Frankfort to pay attention outside the Golden Triangle. And it is time for the laws of Kentucky to stop negatively impacting the rural and outside of your city limits in ways that really impact our citizens. You look at what it does to remove a transportation line item from a rural school district like Corbin and Whitley yeah. County, and that makes an enormous impact for the kids who, you know, that takes away the extracurriculars. It's not like you can just hop on a city bus and get from Corbin to Knoxville. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So removing those kinds of what are looked as luxuries, they really aren't in a rural school district. We don't have a rainy day fund. There's no funds with which we can replace these things. And just looking at what impact those sorts of bold declarations have on a rural school district is something that I really wish Frankfort would understand.
Absolutely.
So you aren't a native of the 82nd, but you have adopted it as your home. Can you tell us why you decided to return and stay in southeastern Kentucky?
Absolutely. When I first was in law school, I met a lawyer from the Appalachian Research and Defense Fund at a conference in Indiana. And she talked about this magical place in southeast Kentucky. And Prestonsburg was another world to me. When I came and clerked there, it was a very different experience than anything this Milwaukee native had ever seen. But I was adopted by a local family in Floyd County and saw the world through their eyes and understood the region through their vision and knew that this was home. I adopted this place as, you know, where I was going to put down new roots. And I have been here for over a decade, working for legal aid and definitely chose this place to be my home.
That's a great answer. That's awesome to hear. Like, I really care about Eastern Kentucky a lot, too. I have a lot of family from north of there. But it's a really amazing place, and not enough people realize that. So,
well, and I think there's a big difference between individuals who come down for a period of time with a do-gooder mentality that I am here to save Appalachia.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And those individuals that come to legal aid for that purpose and with that perspective come for 2 years and go back to the East Coast where they came from. It's not about saving a place and a people so much as calling them my own.
Yeah, there's a ton of assets there in Eastern Kentucky that, I mean, it goes beyond coal. The people down there are amazing, and they can do just as much as anybody in anywhere else in the world. So
absolutely,
they need good representation. So, okay, well, we've asked this question of most of the Democrats we've talked to so far, and all the answers, I think, have been very interesting and revealing. So Democrats this year so far, and I mean, we still have, I think, like 5 days until the filing deadline. No, we'll have passed by the time you're listening to this. But there have been 9 retirements in the House. And I think most of the reason that we've seen these retirements is because a bunch of the people who were serving, they didn't want to be in a powerless minority. You know, they were used to getting their bills seen in committee and having the ability to get stuff to the floor and passed. And that's kind of gone now for a lot of the Democrats. And you're running in a really tough district. And you're running really hard to join this sort of powerless minority. Can you tell us, what is it that appeals to you about being able to do something like that?
There is nothing about government that should be obsessed with the power that they hold. Government should be about balance. The supermajority that exists in our House of Representatives in Frankfort has taken that power to heart, mm-hmm. and we need balance. You need to have real solutions that don't call party over person. And whether or not you are in the majority should not matter about the solutions that are presented for real problems that we're facing. We have spent the better part of this first weeks of General Assembly talking about who or who not is the speaker. And really, the toxic environment that existed with this supermajority is why we are where we are. There are consequences for this power grab, and this is where we sit.
I just remember at the beginning of the session last year when Jeff Hoover was talking about, you know, oh, if good ideas come from wherever they want to, you know, we'll hear from them. And, you know, we were the powerless minority before, and we don't want to do the same thing. And last year, the only Democratic bill I think that passed was one that came out of the Senate. So there you go.
Absolutely.
It's not talked a big game, but didn't back it up. So,
well, and that's no way to govern.
Right.
If you just and it's the same thing in D.C. If you just pass by your majority when power shifts, I mean, are we going to spend the next couple years repealing everything? It just doesn't make sense. That's not how government is supposed to work.
Right. That's no way to move forward for sure. OK, so we talked about your legal background. I mean, it's pretty impressive, and you talked about your experience in, legal aid and Apple Red. Yes. Your work is mostly around civil law. Jasmine's on the show talking to us a lot of the time about criminal law, so we don't spend that much time talking about civil law, even though we probably should. You know, you're running for office, and you, if elected, would have way more power about the law than anybody except for 137 other people. So, you know, if you were elected, what are some changes to the judicial system that you would champion?
So, yes, I have a civil background, but unfortunately, the criminal aspect is what I would like to most see changed. I think we are prime for criminal justice reform in the state of Kentucky that centers not only around small first-time drug offenses, but also the drug court concept. Every county in the Commonwealth has more people in their jail than the capacity should be, and the vast majority of them are drug offenses. I do a lot of court appointment work where parents who run into the judicial system with their drug problem then have their children taken, and we have an entire generation of children being raised by grandparents. This drug problem needs to get under control in some capacity, and sending them all to a jail that we can't afford to keep them at is not a solution. What that looks like and how we create a better drug court system that doesn't put people in jail, mm-hmm. and focuses more on treatment and the medical aspect of addiction is a good place to start, because we can't afford to keep on like we are.
Yeah. It's a public health issue, yep. almost as much as it is a criminal issue. Okay, so judicial issues aside, the biggest issue, or I guess maybe not the biggest, but the issue that's getting the most attention in Kentucky's legislature this year is the pension and our serious issues around funding our budget. You talked already about the governor's budget wanting to cut out school buses and a bunch of school funding that would really hurt a place like the 82nd. So if you were in charge, how would you address the major fiscal issues that Kentucky's facing?
Well, you need revenue. You cannot cut your way out of this problem. And currently, the Commonwealth gives away more taxes and loopholes and special carve-outs than we collect. And that is not sustainable. In the current economy that is bumping along at a good clip to make other people's lives benefit, why there is not a corresponding increase in revenues is unfathomable.
Doesn't make any sense.
No, yeah. Not at all. So revenue in however they approach that problem is got to be a necessary component. Mm-hmm. The where is the question.
Right. Yeah. With that in mind, Jasmine, I get the chance to ask my favorite question.
I like letting you ask it. It's too many names for me.
So on the topic of revenue, and you talked about where, there is a bill, HB 29, that's in the House right now. It's been filed. Would you be willing, if you were elected, to add your name as a sponsor to HB 29, which is a tax reform bill sponsored by currently Jim Wayne, George Brown Jr., Tom Birch, Jeff Donahue, Kelly Flood, Derek Graham, Joni Jenkins, Mary Lou Marzian, Reggie Meeks, Daryl Owen, Ruth Ann Palumbo, and Atticus Scott?
Absolutely. I think the conversation to begin about where those revenues come from has been given a good platform mm-hmm. with that bill. Do I feel like those are the only solutions? Mm-hmm. No. Do I feel like additional revenues of new sources and however they would come to the table, either gaming, medical marijuana, other ideas that have been floated, an entire new source of revenue would not be a bad thing.
Absolutely. And I'm really glad to hear you say that, because when I, you know, Jasmine's like, that's a lot of names, and that is a lot of names, but they are all urban Democrats.
Yep.
And I would really be great to see some rural Democrats joining this cause as well.
And it's a difficult transition to look at the economy that's coming along and look at how that progress in our state is affecting the rural districts. Mm-hmm. We're not seeing the same benefit and
right.
wage increases and increased flow through our small town economies, but that does not mean that there is not room for additional revenues from all pieces of the state mm-hmm. and not just focusing on where our urban counterparts can make up the difference.
Right. And I mean, appropriate funding in the government goes towards, you know, developing a lot of these economies, because that's where yep. good schools come from. That's where, you know, parks and stuff come from. And a lot of the stuff that makes places attractive as places to land a company or where people can work are relative to government financing, and having that done in an appropriate manner right. only serves to help grow the economy.
Well, in our particular district, the small businesses mm-hmm. are driving the renaissance in our downtown, and to provide appropriate support to continue to allow them to grow and to hire new people and to increase their wages benefits everybody.
Absolutely. Okay, are there any other major issues that we haven't talked about that you think are really important?
I believe the other line item that offends me most in the governor's proposal is the cutting of the access to justice, the $1 million funding cut to legal aid's line item budget would be a death knell to certain programs. And I just don't think people in Frankfort understand how hard it is to be poor in Kentucky and to not have access to an attorney free of charge when you are scraping by. It means you don't get access to the legal system, and that's not acceptable.
Absolutely. Okay, well, Stephanie, you made it. Thank you so much for coming on. This has been really great. It's been excellent to hear from you, excellent to talk with you, and good luck.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Jasmine, how can people find out about us?
They can find us on Twitter, at @MyOldKYPod. We post our show notes on Medium. We also have a Facebook page that you can like, and we put our podcast on pretty much any podcasting app of your choice.
All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you next week.